This morning, Luke chapter 6, and just one verse that we'll read together, and it's verse number 38. So let's all read together Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Dear, are you aware that Christmas is 10 days from today? When you think about that, that's an amazing thing. As the year has passed, when I was just a little boy, the biggest joy I had on Christmas Day was what I got under the tree. How many of you had the same thing? There you go. That's what I thought. It probably hasn't changed for some of us, but that's the way it is. I could not wait to see what was there. One year we got a Lionel train set that my dad had set up under the tree. I'd give anything if we still had that. Little children are not real responsible for some of those things. We did not have a whole lot of money, but we had a whole lot of love in our house, which was a great thing. There were some years my brother and I received quite a bit for one reason or another, and there were other years that we didn't receive much of anything, but we always received the love that we needed. It was a wonderful thing. There are a few Christmases I remember more than others because of how meaningful they were to me. My mom and dad, when they got married, we were too poor to have any jewelry of any kind, and my mom didn't get an engagement ring. My dad was a member of the Masons. I don't want anybody to criticize what I just said because it's part of the story. My dad, for a few years, was a Mason, and he had a beautiful, beautiful 14-carat solid gold ring with a third of a carat diamond right in the middle of the top of it. And he removed that diamond, or had it removed, and put into an engagement ring setting and gave it to my mom on Christmas. I cried. She cried. I don't think she said a word. I just remember that as she was standing there, she reached up and put her arms around my dad's neck and just squeezed him and just cried. And I've got that ring at home right now with that beautiful diamond, one of the clearest, most beautiful diamonds I've ever seen in my life. And now that Mom is in heaven, she doesn't need it anymore. But anyway, that was a very special Christmas. But as I grew older, I found that Christmas was not just a holiday for a little boy named Danny Parton to get some presents under the tree. No, sir, it became a time to give. We read a moment ago one of the great famous verses in the Word of God, give and it shall be given unto you. And a very, very, very good verse. It gives a lot of thought about giving. And Christmas became a time to give things away instead of expecting to get something. This is time to introduce my famous oft-repeated sermon that I preach. I don't have a Christmas list, but I'm not going to preach that today. I stopped having a Christmas list. I can't remember. People ask me if I want anything. The answer is always no. And that means I'm surprised and happy with anything that I receive, if I receive anything, and never disappointed if I receive nothing. It's just one of those things. I have no Christmas list. And so my children were frustrated with that. My wife, she knows me pretty well, so she doesn't really need to know if I have a Christmas list. But what does Dad want? He didn't want anything, you know. Everything I want is more expensive than anything anybody can buy, so don't worry about that. And what can I say? You're the same way. But I don't have a Christmas list, and this is not that sermon. And I did think about repeating it today just because I wanted to hear it. But no, it became a time of giving rather than getting. And I'd hate to think that it was just getting older that brought the change. I'd like to think that I had grown in Christ enough to make a difference in all that. God is connected with giving throughout the Bible. And many of you know the verses, or some of the verses that I'm about to read. But God is always connected with giving. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 9:15. I love this. Thanks be to God, unto God for his unspeakable gift. God's always connected with giving. So is Christ's likeness. Christ's likeness is always connected to being a giver. It has been said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But having been knowing the Lord now for more than 60 years, I found that when the Lord takes something away, he gives much more in return. God, you can't outgive God. That's just the way it is. And everything about the Lord seems to be centered on giving, everything. For example, he giveth his life, John 10:11, where the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He giveth salvation, Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He giveth assurance, the Bible says in John 10:28-29, where Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Bible says he also giveth grace, Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then the Bible says he giveth more grace in James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Everything about the Lord's about giving. And think about that. We are the recipient of that. We get to be the recipient of God's generosity, of his goodness and giving in our lives. And giving is one of the graces God gives to his own. Many are self-centered. It has to be grace that causes us even to desire to give. There is no life so empty as the self-centered life. And there is no life so centered as the self-emptied life. And that's the way God wants us to live. And so it has to be grace that causes us to have that desire to give. And if we are truly Christ-like, we're going to have to be givers. Say, Pastor, is this a message on money? No. It's a message on giving. It's a message on, here, Luke 6:38, where he talks about giving, but money is not the only topic that is found there. So I've written down just two things that I want to share with you today. That's it. At this Christmas time, through the years, I've always encouraged you to be generous to the Lord and give him the time that he needs and all that, something that we've tried to practice for all these years as well. But I want to give you this thought today. First of all, during this Christmas season, and there's no better time to do this than right now, and that is, first of all, give yourself. Give yourself. Romans 12:1-2 is still in the Bible. They may be trite, but they're still true. Where the Word of God makes a plain statement, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God gives us that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've said it 100 times, if I've said it 1,000 times, that's not three wills of God. It describes singularly the will of God. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. That's what the will of God is. I hear those who don't know what it means, and they say, well, I missed God's perfect will, so I'm living in God's acceptable will. But I've never heard anybody say that they are living in God's good will. Those three words describe one thing, the will of God. And it is good, and it is acceptable, and it is perfect. The Bible tells us it's the least that we can do for him. He was willing to give the most for us. So therefore, to give ourselves back to him, to dedicate our lives to him, is only the reasonable thing to do, which is your reasonable service, such the Word of God says. And listen, we can do that. We do not belong to ourselves. We have been purchased. We have been bought with a price, and that was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, when you come under that understanding that you don't belong to you, when you come under that understanding that you are not your own, that it's not your thing and you do what you want to do, as the old song says, but you realize that you've been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus and it's His will for you to live for Him, you realize you're not your own. You see, this story is told of a man who was riding on a train, a preacher, and as he was sitting there with a number of other men, they started playing poker and they asked him if he would like to play and he said, yes, I would. And he sat there and never picked up his cards. He wouldn't pick them up. And the men were upset. They were questioning him, said, well, how come you're not picking up your cards and playing? He says, I don't have any hands. And so they apologized. And then he took his hands up and did something with his hands. And they said, hey, you just said you didn't have any hands. He said, I don't. These hands don't belong to me. He said, these hands belong to the Lord. Now, I would like to play poker, but the Lord doesn't want me to waste my money and bet and gamble. These hands don't belong to me. They belong to Him. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. We don't belong to ourselves. Learn to give yourself to God. During this Christmas season, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. I want you to know, look again at verse 1. He says to give your body, but he gets the condition. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord. That's not W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's not the word completely. It's the word H-O-L-Y. When you go to a restaurant, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you ever picked up your fork that was wrapped up in the napkin and it had somebody else's food still on it? Yeah, I've been there and done that. And I called a waitress over one time. Robin and I went into a steakhouse and they brought me some dirty silverware. And I called the waiter, waitress, I don't remember which it was. And I said, do I have to pay extra for this? And oh, she felt so, or he, whatever it was, felt so bad. But you know what? God prefers a clean vessel. God prefers a vessel that is clean. A vessel, that's why he says, giving yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And so it says here, that, by the way, the word logic, the word reasonable there is the same word as logic. It's the logical thing to do. That's what the Word of God teaches. Because of everything He has done, He said, this is the logical thing to do. Think about it. With all He's done for us, He wants us to do something for Him, and that is to give ourselves. And if God gets your body, by the way, He has you. Look at verse 2. He says to give Him your mind. God never asks you to do the impossible. Our minds wandering aimlessly. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, as the songwriters have said. But to give Him our mind and let it be occupied. Everybody in this room at one time or another has had your mind occupied with that which is not holy, that which is not good, that which is not right. And God wants to have our mind as well. And notice what He says here. He says, and be not conformed to this world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say, how do you renew your mind? You renew it with the Word of God. But many believers today don't even read the Bible. It's no wonder the mind is not cleansed, is not the way that it should be. And again, in verse 2, give Him your spirit. That is your will. And if your will is surrendered, you can know the will of God. The Apostle Paul said the thing that kept him from accomplishing the will of God, he said, was his own will. He said, to will is present with me. And so here it says here that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And surrendering our will to Him and saying, Lord, you take my will and set a match to your desires and let God give you His desires. And God is so good. See, why is that important? This is a decision that I made a long time ago as a teen. Though I was saved February the 16th, 1964, that was 60 plus years ago, it wasn't until 9 years later, February 9th, 1973, that a teenager by the name of Dan Parton got on his knees in church and said, Dear Lord, not my will, but yours. And you've heard me give the testimony, and I'll share it till the day that I die. As I knelt over here on the left, on my left and your right of the pulpit in my home church, as I knelt there, no one came up to pray with me. No one came up and put their arm on my around my neck or patted me on the back and say, now, Danny, why have you come forward? Nobody did that. But I prayed by myself, and I took, spiritually speaking, a pen out of my pocket and held, spiritually speaking, a blank check in my hand, and I signed it, spiritually speaking. But I didn't fill in the line at the top. And I said, Lord, whatever you want. I have not been faithful as I should have been, but I've never taken that back. And God has filled it in faithfully over these years. And I'm glad that I did that. And you know, all of us need to do that. Every single one of us. We need to have that moment in our lives where we say, I don't belong to me. I belong to God. I want to do His will, not my own will. And listen, it's never too late. You say, oh, but Pastor, you can't mean it's never too late. As long as you're breathing, there's still time. As one preacher said years ago, if you can hold a mirror under your nose and put a cloud on it within a minute by breathing through your nose, there's still hope. My good friends that communicate with me every week in one way or another, they say, if you're still breathing, there's still hope. And that's absolutely true. So give yourself. Why don't you take time and say, have I ever done that? And if you have done that, praise the Lord. If you've taken it back, it's time for rededication. As I was growing up in my home church and my pastor and my youth pastor, he spoke many times about rededicating my life to the Lord. You know why we need to do that? Because living sacrifices have a bad habit. Living sacrifices crawl off of the altar. The Apostle Paul made this statement, been debated many years by many theologians. To me, it's just simple. There's nothing to argue. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He obviously wasn't talking about dying physically because he was still alive. What was he talking about? Every single day was a rededication of the Apostle Paul. And he said, I die daily. That's the theology. Nothing wrong with that. When I was a youth director, I found that a lot of young people would make a decision and then outgrow it, or so they thought. They would surrender to the will of God and later say they were young and didn't mean it and didn't understand. They give all kinds of reasons. But that's why my youth pastor spoke to his youth group, which I was a part of, about from time to time rededicating your life to the Lord. Say, okay, God, I belong to you. I took it back. I rededicate my life to you. And there's a lot of Christians who need to do that, maybe even some in this room. So I said, first of all, give yourself. Nothing wrong with that. Say, what should I do? Well, why don't you crawl under the Christmas tree if you've got one and say, Lord, here you go. Open it up. It's all yours. And that's good. Secondly, I said I was going to give you 2 points today. This is number two. Don't look at your watch. You might have a heart attack. Give of yourself. Say, Pastor, what's the difference between giving myself and giving of myself? There's a passage in the Word of God that addresses this just absolutely perfectly, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to follow along as I read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it talks about people who had already given themselves to the Lord. But now this passage addresses the giving of themselves to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, going down to verse 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of your joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. It doesn't say willing themselves. That's about them. Willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. That word entreaty is very interesting. That means they kept after it. They basically were begging, we need help. With much entreaty. And it says here that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What's he talking about here? Oh, they were already dedicated to the Lord, but now they were sacrificing in their life for others. After these dear people had first given themselves, they gave what they gave of what they had. You see, that's what they did. They didn't keep it for themselves. In times of great poverty and great affliction, they gave of themselves to the needs. If God gets the wallet without the man, he soon will have neither. However, if God gets the man, he also gets the wallet, and this way neither are lost easily. Pastor, I thought you said this was going to be a sermon not about money. Giving is part of the text that we read at the beginning. It talks about how you give to the Lord, but it doesn't mention necessarily specifically in that verse cash or money. But it does involve a lot of things. You start with the offering plates here at your own church. Why is that important? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. You know, I mentioned this, I believe it was Wednesday night. There are four levels of giving. There's tipping, there's tithing, there's offering, and there's sacrificing. And all four of those types of giving are represented in every church in America today. One person said to me years ago, I'm too poor to give. I'm always reminded of the story of the widow, the little widow woman in the Bible. All she had was two mites, and she gave all she had. And Jesus took note of her giving more than anybody else's. I do not know what happened after that, but I think I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven, what did you ever do to that woman? Did you follow her home? Kind of reminds me of the story in the Bible about the prophet that went to the lady and said, make me a cake of bread. She said, that's all I've got, a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. He said, go ahead and do it. And after that, we read the rest of the story. God fed her for the rest of her life. But we don't follow the widow woman. We don't see the rest of the story. But when that woman dropped in her two little mites, there were 12 pots across the front of the temple where men would put in their tithe, put in their money. And it's not like they didn't pass a plate. They'd come up and they'd throw their money in the pot. And I can just see this. Do you ever picture a story in your mind that's in the Bible? And I'm seeing this little woman with her head covered and a veil on her face, perhaps, and wearing a long robe or clothing, walking up like this, maybe with a little bag of money. And she got up there. This is the way I see it. You probably don't. I see her looking to the right and looking to the left to make sure nobody was watching, but somebody was watching. I see her reaching in and grabbing those two little mites, dropping and quickly turning around and starting to walk out. And Jesus pops up and says, hey, fellas, look, look. Do you see what that woman did? She put in more money than all these rich people in this room. And I can just see some of them now going, you got to be kidding. We heard those two mites clink in the bottom of that jar. He says, no, they gave of what they had. She gave everything she had. That's where the story ends. I want to know what happened afterwards. I think I know. Because Luke 6:38 says this. It says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I just see this woman having it all measured back. Truth of the matter is, God respects that and he blesses that. The biggest thrill that I have at Christmas time is the look on the faces of those to whom I have decided to give something and see how happy they are. To me, that's just the way it ought to be. And you say, are you happy to receive stuff? Of course I am. My goodness. Why wouldn't I be? And you would be foolish if you weren't thankful for what people give to you. But the biggest thrill ought to be looking at the reaction of those to whom you give, to be honest with you. I'm going to tell a story that I've not told in years and years and years. But years ago, we were given by Robin's dad, $500 for a car. You can't buy a car for $500. And you could put that money toward buying a car, but we didn't have anything to add to it. Okay, that was just the way it was. And we waited for a long time for a $500 car, or at least was one that we could add what few pieces of money we had we could put to it. It never came up. We kind of gave up looking for it. And so the car never came into being, but the $500 was still in place. And that her dad gave me permission to use $200 of the $500 to make a personal purchase. He gave us that permission. But I still had $300. And I didn't know how to use the $300. You say, you didn't know how to use $300? You say, I know how to use $300. Well, I just didn't know what to do with it. And here's what we decided to do. I went to the bank and I bought 150 brand new $2 bills consecutively numbered. Yeah, 150 times 2 is 300. And we decided to go to the college and gather all the college kids together and have a big pizza party. And a youth director wanted to go with me. He said, can I go? I want to be a part of that. And we drove over to the college, gathered all the kids together that could come, and just gave each one of them $2 at a time. Some of them cried. Some of them wanted to give it back. Well, they couldn't give it back because it didn't belong to me. The youth pastor, he wanted to buy the pizza and the pop. He wanted to do the same type of stuff. It was really great. And we had a time. Some of the kids, I believe, still had that money, never spent it. They just kept it as a gift. Say, how much did they get? I don't know. I don't remember, but it was more than $2 because they each got, until I ran out of $2 bills. That was one of the happiest times that I can remember spending, just giving away money. And listen, the Lord gave us that money to do with it what we felt the Lord would want us to do. And I really believe the $200 we could keep for ourselves and put toward a need. But the $300 I had no right to keep. I just gave it away. See, are you saying that so that we will praise you? Not on your life. What I'm saying was I had more fun that day than you can possibly imagine. Watching some of those kids cry, watching some of them with their eyes as big as saucers. Couldn't believe it. It was just a marvelous thing. Well, we threw a pizza party for them and gave the rest of the money to them, and the $300 went to others. It could have gone for our Christmas, but we gave it away. And some tried to give it back, but we couldn't accept it back. However, the Lord gave back exactly double what we had given away. And that's another biblical principle. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Say, where's that? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Many of you know the verse. You've already quoted it after I gave the reference. But in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, God inspired Solomon to write these words, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And that's a promise from the Lord. So my challenge to my church family and friends today is this. First of all, give yourself. If you've done that, praise the Lord. I'm right there with you. I really am. See, Pastor, have you ever rededicated your life to the Lord more times than I can really share with you? Becoming a pastor was part of that rededication. I, in my own life, thought that I had surrendered my life to pastor. The Lord showed me different. I had to resurrender that. And we've been here now for 34 and a half years. And what I'm simply saying is this, if you have never done that, or if you have walked away from that decision, if you as a living sacrifice have crawled off of the altar, as so many have done over the years, then it's time to give it back. It's just time. And secondly, if you've never learned the grace of giving of yourself, I would encourage you to do that. I've told you about the man in Missouri who carried a $20 bill with him everywhere he went. He had a whole lot more money than that. Trust me, he was very well off. But he always had a $20 bill that he could just give to somebody. Same man, when our children were little, would come to our car and put packages of disposable diapers in our car just as a missionary gift, so to speak. So many different things. He gave me a book, by the way. It's still on my shelf. I've read it. It's called Preacher, Please Quit. And I thought, Preacher, Please Quit. He said, it's not what you think. But basically it was this: if God ain't called you, get out of the pulpit, which I thought was pretty good. To be an honest preacher, it's in here. It's really a pretty good little book, believe it or not. But boy, was I shocked when he gave it to me. He said, "Here, Pastor Dan, I want you to have a book here." And okay, I'll quit then. No, I wasn't going to quit, that's for sure. And others have done the same thing. And I'm here to, I could give you one testimony after another where God has poured back into my bosom more than what I gave out. If the Lord took it away, I said, He's always gives more back to you than what you give away. Somehow He does that, and I don't know how He does it, and I don't know why He does it, other than the fact that He's a just and a faithful and a good God to us. So I think I know you fairly well as a church family. You are not too much different than me when it comes to enjoying things. And I want to really enjoy Christmas this year, and I'm planning on it. And what do you say, let's just get rid of our expectations and decide to do what we ought to do, not only just for ourselves, but for others as well. And let's look beyond ourselves. First of all, let's give ourselves to the Lord, or give ourselves back to the Lord. And then learn to look in that wallet or in that purse or in that bank account and learn to give of yourselves to those who have needs as well. Oh, well, what about my needs? I can't tell you how many times I've heard that through the years in the ministry. What about my needs? You let God take care of your needs. You know, He's pretty good at that. He really honestly is. And that's why I encourage you, go back and read Luke 6:38 again and read the order of it. He says, you do this, this is what's going to happen. And I've never known God to be a liar.